2 Timothy 2, let me start reading at verse 16. But shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Howbeit, the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some unto honor, and some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. This, first of all, Timothy is told to rightly divide the word of truth. Cut it straight, not to deviate to the right nor to the left. That is what Timothy is to do, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Look down at verse 18. Men who concerning the truth have erred. Now, Hymenaeus and Philetus are men who did not cut the truth straight, but they erred. Now, this will help us to understand what it means to rightly divide the word of truth, rightly to explain the word of truth. If you ask me, have you died with Christ? Yes. Have you been raised with Christ? Yes. Then the resurrection is past already, isn't it? No. Because there is that spiritual relationship with Christ, and in union with Christ, positionally, we have died with Christ and we have been raised with Christ. But as for the physical, it says we are waiting for the redemption of the body, and in this body we groan. And the only time that this body is ever going to be redeemed is when our Savior, who is in heaven, where our citizenship is, shall return and shall make anew these vile bodies, these bodies of humiliation, and he will conform them to his glorious body. So, they did not cut right. They did not handle correctly the word of truth. They said the resurrection is past already, but they were wrong. They had grasped that spiritual aspect of trusting Christ, but not the literal resurrection of those who had trusted Christ. It says, meats for the body, meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God will bring to naught both it and them. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up us also through Christ Jesus. So the resurrection that yet awaits us is the resurrection of the body. And there are some who can grasp a little bit of the truth, but they do not rightly divide. They do not cut straight the truth, and therefore they err. So to rightly divide the word of truth is to teach the word of God correctly. Do not err to the right or to the left. Do not add to it, saying that there are many resurrections and they are not, or that all the resurrection is past, because that is false, but rightly divide the word of truth. That much. Now, look at verse 18. Concerning the truth have erred, and it says, they overthrow the faith of some. Keep that in mind at first. Here are some who are preaching, and their preaching is listened to, and their preaching is false, they have erred, and the ones who listen to them have their faith overthrown. You're liable to say, well, is my faith going to be overthrown? Well, let us see. Verse 19. Howbeit, the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If the Lord knows you, your faith isn't going to be overthrown. It can be attacked viciously. It can be wounded. It can be bruised. But it cannot be overthrown. Because a man who has had the person of Christ revealed to him by the Father, that revelation can never be taken away from him. If he has not let that revelation possess him, if he has not embraced it, then just as the fowls of the air come down and gobble up those seeds, it can be taken away. But if flesh and blood has not revealed it, but the Father of the Lord Jesus has, then your faith is never going to be overthrown. It can be altered, you can be led astray, but God can restore you, and your faith will never be overthrown in that sense. Now, the reason that it's not going to be overthrown, and I want you to notice the contrast, here are some who are teachers, but they're false teachers. And here are some who are brethren, but they are false brethren. And if they are false brethren, they are not true brethren. And if they are not true brethren, then their faith can be overthrown, because their faith was never the God kind of faith. But it was a man-made faith. Like James says, you believe that God is one, the devils believe, and they tremble. There are different kinds of faith, and the faith of false brethren can be overthrown, like those in John 6. They're listening to the Savior preach, and he preaches so stringently concerning truth that it says, we can take no more. And they went back and walked no more with him. So false brethren can leave the Lord permanently, and they can have their faith overthrown. But not those whom the Lord knows. For those who say, I know the Lord, it's just like in the first epistle of John. If a man say, I love God, if a man say many things in the first epistle of John, but his behavior is different from his lip conversation concerning the Savior, it says he's false. He is a liar. So there are true brethren and there are false brethren. And these false brethren can have their faith overthrown, and these false teachers can preach, and their preaching will be accepted. But it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. All right. What is the seal? The seal of the firm foundation of God. Remember this, that in the Old Testament, concerning the houses of the children of Israel as well as their persons, they had verses of scripture that were to be written at the entrance of their houses. Think of this. And here is a house, and I've seen such scriptures at other houses. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they could put, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And one who had escaped Egypt could put on his house, God has seen the blood and has passed over me. Well, it says concerning the firm foundation of God, and this is made up of true believers, it says, it standeth firm. No matter how many the assaults of the enemy are with false doctrine, they can disturb us and upset us, but they cannot overthrow our faith to ruination. And for that reason, God says, my foundation is going to stand firm, and this is the seal. I know those that are mine. It was so much of a blessing considering those scriptures that talk about not our knowing God, but his knowing us. I want to bring some of them to your attention. God said concerning Abraham, I know Abraham. God said concerning Moses, I know Moses. I talk with him face to face. And God says in Nahum chapter 1, it says, the Lord knows those that are his. And it says in number 16, I'll show you the ones that are mine. I know who are mine. And in the New Testament, listen to this, The Savior says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. So it's one thing for you to say, I know the Lord. It's another thing for the Lord to say, I know you. Do you remember those seven sons of Sceva? They were trying to exorcise. And they said, in the name of Jesus, we command you to come out. And the demons in the man said, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you? And so they were professing and attempting to do things that were not in their power to do, because the Lord did not know them. And yet they were naming the name of the Lord. Please notice that here are teachers, and they're teaching doctrines of the faith, but they're teaching them incorrectly. But they're teachers, but they're false teachers. And here are brethren that are listening to them preach, and they're led astray, and their faith is overthrown. They are brethren, but they are false brethren. Remember now, Paul speaks about being associated and in danger with false teachers and with false brethren, and it speaks about false apostles. The difference is this. If a man rejects Christ, wants nothing to do with him, casts out his name as evil, then he is one that is outside the church. But if one makes a profession of faith, then he is in the visible church. But in the visible church, just like here, there may be some of you who are the Lord's. There may be some who are not the Lord's. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And so for this reason, in the seven churches in Asia that are found in Revelation 1 and 2, do you think that Jezebel was a true child of God? You say, of course not. And all of those others that were practicing terrible sins, you say, no, they weren't God. Of course they weren't. And yet they were in the church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, and some came and said, we are apostles. And the Christians at Ephesus put them to the test and found them false. And so here is the visible church. And in the visible church, there are those that are truly known of God. And there are those that say they belong to God, but they are not of God. They say they are apostles, but they are false apostles. They say they are brethren, but they are false brethren. And I'm telling you these things to prepare you for the illustration that Paul is going to give in a few minutes. Notice now, here is the firm foundation. Now, in this firm foundation, you will find that all around the firm foundation, there were those that were not a part of this firm foundation. They were these men whose faith could be overthrown. And for that reason, it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So, there are two ways to determine whether a man is a genuine brother, a genuine teacher, or a false teacher. It's whether what he says is in harmony with what is written in the Word of God. It's whether the Lord knows him. Now, that's the divine side. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But the human side is that everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. If a man say, I know God and hate his brother, he is a liar. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So some say, I have fellowship with God, and they walk in darkness. John says, you lie and you do not the truth. I love God and you hate your brother, you are a liar. So there are those in the church. They are not of the church, but they are in the church. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And there are some in the visible church, not the real, genuine church, but in the visible church, and they are not of the church, just as we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Quite often we are worldly, but thank God we are not of the world. Our Savior has said that in John chapter 17. So, here are those that are associated with this firm foundation, which I take to be the genuine children of God built upon true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only solid foundation. But remember, Paul lays a foundation, but upon that foundation, there are genuine believers, and mixed in with them visibly are false believers, false brethren. Now, their faith can be overturned. This is what John says. He says concerning some, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they all are not of us. So here is John, and he speaks about brethren, but they are false brethren. And the proof that they were false brethren, they went away from the apostolic church. And because of that, John says, they were not of us. Now, for that reason, look at verse 20. Manward, it's this, depart from iniquity. Godward, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And in verse 20, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some unto honor and some unto dishonor. So here you have the two classes again. You have vessels of wood and of earth unto dishonor, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, and like those whose faith was overthrown. There are some who are blown about by every wind of doctrine, whereas if you are grounded by the Spirit of God, you will stand first, fast. And it says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But some say there is no resurrection, and they were overthrown. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. And now here again are some that teach that the resurrection is past, and those that are professing brethren accept their false teaching, and their faith is overthrown. So remember, though they are in the visible church, they are not of the visible church. The Lord alone knows who they are. And remember this, if I'm a preacher, it doesn't mean I'm a genuine part of the church. And if I'm a believer in name, it doesn't mean I'm a part of the genuine church, the foundation. But this is what makes me a part of the true foundation built upon Christ. It is this. It says in 1 Corinthians 8, grasp these words. It says, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. It says, but love buildeth up. It says, if a man loves God, the same is known of him. So do you love God? And if you can say, yes, and you prove the love, and the Lord Jesus spoke about that, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If a man love God, the same is known of him. And so it doesn't say if a man preach, he's known of God. If a man professes to be a brother, he's known of God. But it says, if a man love God, the same is known of him. And if we love not, we are not of God. So this is the way that we can be sure that we are of that true foundation. That is, if we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the outward proof. The divine proof is, I know those that are mine. So that is the thrill, that God knows those who are his. Again, it says in Galatians 4, now that you've come to know God, or rather, be known by God. So all through the Old and New Testament, it speaks about those that are known by God, and the way that we can know that we know God is if we love God. As the psalmist says, I love thee, O Lord. And even Peter could say, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then the Lord Jesus accepted that. He said, I will accept it. Then you feed my lambs and you feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? There are many that are willing to preach and profess, but to love the Lord and to depart from iniquity, that is the true test of genuine believers. All right. I've laid this foundation, and in verse 20, I want you to see that Paul's illustration of the outward visible church is like that of a great house. At times, He uses not illustrations, but he will use metaphors or similes, and they are genuine. I will tell you where you never have any mixture. When it speaks of the body of Christ, everyone who is a member of the body of Christ is a genuine believer. But not everyone who is a part of this great house is a genuine believer. I'll give you another example. In the parable of the mustard seed, it says that this little mustard seed that's supposed to remain small and select, it says it grew up into a great tree and put out branches, and it said the birds of the heaven came and nested, lodged in the branches thereof. Now, all of those that are of that mustard seed, they are genuine. But all of these birds that come and infiltrate that tree and lodge in the branches, they aren't. And yet, here is what man sees. And God says, in a great house, something is similar. You have the mustard tree. It's supposed to be a mustard bush, a tiny thing. But you have birds of the heaven in there. And the Lord has already told us that this is satanic activity. And now in the great house, you have vessels of gold and of silver, but you also have vessels of wood and of earth. And the vessels of gold and silver are vessels unto honor, and the vessels of wood and of earth are vessels unto dishonor. Now, if you have Paul and Timothy, they are vessels of gold and of silver, vessels unto honor. If you have Hymenaeus and Philetus, they are vessels of wood and of earth, and they are vessels unto dishonor. And yet they're all present in this visible church, just as John was writing to the church, and there was a Diotrephes in it, and Paul was writing to the church, and there were incestuous members in it. So you have the church, and at times some that are in it are true, and some are false, and some are carnal. Those that are carnal are to be restored. Those that are false are to be one of two things. Notice carefully at verse 20. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, from whom? From these vessels of wood and of earth, vessels unto dishonor. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So you have two classes, honorable vessels, dishonorable vessels, gold and silver vessels, wood and earthen vessels. And God says, purge yourself from these. What is remarkable is that in the church at Corinth, the same word is used. You had a man there that was a fornicator. He had his own father's wife. And Paul said, purge out that man. Purge out the old leaven. The same word, if a man purge himself from these. Now get the picture. In Corinth, the man that was committing incest was to be purged out. He was to be cleansed. The church was to be cleansed of him. But here are those, and it says, if a man purge himself from them. Here, it is not the man that is being put out of the church, but here are those in the church that are purging themselves from the vessels of wood and of earth, vessels that are dishonorable. And it says, a man is to purge himself from these. He says, if so, and here is what you must understand about the twofold teaching of doctrines in the Bible. If a therefore a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Tell me, do you have to do this to get sanctified? You say, well, it says, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be sanctified. Paul writes concerning those that are Christians at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Positionally, a man is sanctified. Potentially, every child of God is a vessel of honor, of gold, or of silver. That is the potential. The sanctification is positional. But now, if you want to realize practically what you are positionally, you have to purge yourself from these vessels of dishonor and from the wooden and earthen vessels that are associated with the church. And if not, the potential will not be realized, and the sanctification will not be realized. And some, thinking that practical sanctification is the same as positional sanctification, have confused the two. But because of our trust in Christ, we have been sanctified. But thank God, we have a follow after sanctification. Follow after holiness, it says in the King James, without which no man shall see the Lord. So, remember, what you are positionally is to be practically realized. How? By purging yourself from wooden and earthen vessels, vessels of dishonor, and also you are to manifest yourself as a vessel of gold and of silver and of honor by separating yourself from these, and then God says you will be sanctified and you will be a vessel of honor fit for the Master's use. So, here I am, and I have the potential to be reckoned like unto gold or silver, but God is not going to use me as that vessel unless there is this separation. So, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And God says, if there is this separation, it says, then you will be a vessel unto honor. But I am an honorable vessel. Yes, potentially you are. It says, then you will be a vessel unto honor, and God will be able to use you. Let me ask you. Do you think that Aaron the high priest, right after he had made that calf of gold, that God could use him to go and preach, thou shalt not commit idolatry, you shall not fall down and worship idols, could God use him? You say, no. No, why? He was the high priest. But because he had not separated himself from the defiled among the children of Israel, even though there was the potential, and thank God it was realized later, even though he had been separated from the land of Egypt, he was not sanctified practically, and he did not live up to his potential, and God could not use him. So here we are. And God is looking for gold and silver vessels that he can use, but there are conditions on our part. So leaven is to be purged out, or we are to purge ourselves from the leaven. It works both ways like this. In Matthew 18, it says, if thy brother sin against thee, go, tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Notice, if your brother sin against you, you are to go and tell your brother. But in Matthew 5, it says, if you remember that your brother has aught against you, here, you are the one who has sinned. It says, you are to go to your brother. But in Matthew 18, your brother has sinned, and you are to go and tell him in both ways. So there is to be the purging of both ways, the ones that are not defiled and the ones that are defiled. And it says, if you will do this, you'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Now, can God use you now? Could God use Aaron to preach about idolatry? You say, no. Tell me, could God use Achan to teach about thou shalt not covet? You say, no. He's one that took that gold and those Babylonish garments. I see. Even though they were true children of Israel, God could not use them. Why? Because they were not separated. They had the potential, but it was never realized because of the sin in their lives. And so what I want to be is sanctified. I want to be a vessel unto honor, and I want to be meet for the Master's use, and I want to be prepared for every good work. But some of us are not prepared. I'm thinking of this. If some were called upon to preach a certain portion of the Word of God, he would be unable to do it. Why? He says, I don't know anything. about that. I haven't prepared myself for it. Well, could you? Yes. Had I been studying diligently, I would be prepared. I could get a message up that would be acceptable, but I'm just not prepared to do that. But if you have prepared yourself, then when God calls upon you, you can go and do what God tells you to do. And this is what the Lord is exhorting here. It says, vessels unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. Now, in a great house. So here, the house is not the genuine church, but at times, the house is the genuine church. In 1 Peter 2, it says, unto whom coming Christ, a living stone, ye also are living stones built up a spiritual house. That is genuine. Every living stone that is a part of that spiritual house is genuine. And so that's why you have to look at God's word carefully when it mentions in a great house, using an illustration, and using a spiritual house as a picture of the genuine body of Christ. Now, in that house that Peter is speaking about, that spiritual house, every stone is a living stone, and being a living stone, it is part of the house and it shall never be destroyed. Like we are the temple of the living God, if any man destroys God's temple, him will God destroy. But the temple of God is holy, and so are you. So if we are living stones, then we are part of that spiritual house, we are part of that temple, and God says, your gold and silver, and you are in a position to be used to glorify my name. But if not, then you are wood and you are earth and you are false, and God says, you are vessel unto dishonor. So here is this house that Paul is speaking of, using as an illustration, and it includes not only the professors of faith in Christ, but the possessors as well. And they are distinguished because God will say to the preachers, and some of them will say, we prophesied in your name. Could Hymenaeus say, I preached in your name? The Lord Jesus will say, I never knew you. And so there are those that preach, and there are those that say, why, I was a part of such and such a church. That means absolutely nothing. But the Savior says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And a man can say, Lord, I love you, and I love the Lord Jesus, who first loved me, and by your grace I have departed from iniquity. And God will acknowledge you and recognize you. And then if you practically take that second step and purge yourself from those that are false, then God says, you will be a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And so that's the child of God that all of us should desire to be. Let us aim at that goal. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that there is such a thing as knowing that you know us. Our Father, apart from your Son, there was never any introduction to you. There was no knowing of you. It says that we are believers in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are so thankful that your Son has let us know you. And revealing you to us, then you say, I know you. We pray that someday we shall be worthy that you might say of us, I know Abraham, I know Moses, and then you shall mention our name. And as you said concerning Paul, he is an elect vessel, a vessel of election unto me. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So let us be honorable vessels of gold and silver, and let us bring glory to your name. Our Father, we are thankful that so many of us here know that we are part of that true house. And so let us beware of that great house, and those vessels of wood and of earth, those vessels unto dishonor. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.